sounds different, doesn't it? What? Yeah. Now, there's something I need you to do before we start this morning, okay? Determine up front who is the authority of your life. Now, I'm not, you know, this is not some little deal that turns out to be funny. This is pretty serious stuff. If that isn't well established in your heart and mind, you're going to have some trouble this morning. All right? If there are basically just two positions for authority, what I think or what the Word says. And what we're going to do this morning is we're going to run into some issues that have been based largely on what I think. Not I, but, you know, what people think. And that's the collision place. And so I hope by now, if you've been with us any time at all, you understand that the authority of Wellspring Baptist Fellowship is the Word of God. Okay? Without question, hesitation, or reservation. All right, so with that in mind, you can work on that as we go through if you want to, and at the end is what I want you to be satisfied with who the authority is. Okay? All right, so 1 Peter 5, and let's look at four verses this morning. Let's read. Peter says, "So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as a partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock," he's talking to the elders now, "among you. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd," that would be Jesus Christ, "appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." In chapter 5 now, Peter, there's a shift. He turns from what he has been dealing with largely in the context of suffering. And now he turns to the definable and responsible behaviors of those in the body of Christ. He begins, "So I exhort the elders among you." So he begins with the elders. Now he's going to include everybody, I think over in verse 5, when he addresses all of you. But these first four verses are specific to those who are elders. Now you say, well, I can go to sleep or go home. Okay? No, there's a responsibility that we have that you need to hold us to. So this is, we're still together. All right? All right. So Peter says to the elders, I exhort you. That word exhort needs probably a little bit of help here. That means in the original language can mean to summon you, to invite you, to beseech you, to entreat, to beg, to admonish, or to encourage. In good old Ozarkian vernacular, elders step up. Elders step up. Now, no doubt you have wondered or are wondering, you know, that church that I've been going to, maybe for a few weeks or a lot of years, there's something there that kind of bothers me. They don't have a pastor. You know, everybody else has a pastor. In fact, if you are asked by someone, family and friends, and they say, well, where are you going to church? Well, I'm going to Wellspring Baptist Fellowship. The next question, I guarantee you, will be, well, who's the pastor there? And that's where you're right? Either that or you're lying. I don't know. One of the two. Okay? Because we do not have a pastor. We do not have a pastor. Now, that got us into some trouble back in the very early days, back when Chuck and Michelle weren't married, but I think they were dating probably. And we started down on the square, and we had a couple that came to church. They were not married, but they were going to get married. And so word leaked back to her folks in Texas, I think is where they were from. And they were telling, they were all excited about this church they had found. And so they were telling her folks about the church they were attending. And I guess the subject came up somewhere. Well, who's the pastor? And they, you know. And so, honest to goodness truth, okay, those folks in Texas hired a private investigator to investigate the church that their kids were attending, thinking it was some kind of cult or something. So this is not a new issue. This is not a new issue. Well, we're going to investigate because Peter, as he is writing, that's where he takes us. So we're going to look at who are the elders, what are the responsibilities of elders, that'll be next week, and also next week, what is the reward for faithful elders. So this morning, we're just going to establish who are the elders. All right, so when we start, this confusing title that is not familiar to us who live in Polk County, who probably grew up in Polk County, or Southwest Missouri for that matter, or if you've been a Baptist all of your life, this is a confusing issue for you. Because this is terminology that is not present, it's more than it was, but is not present in Polk County, Missouri. And historically, basically has never been. Nor is it in Southwest Missouri. Nor is it among Baptists. This title of elder really creates some issues. And so as you've been confronted by family and friends who ask you, who is the pastor? They're coming from this perspective, and the experience that you have in your church now is not like that. And that's where the confusion comes in. All right? So that's what we're going to try to help us with this morning. And so if you have wondered why we don't have a pastor, then that's going to be answered for you this morning. First, we don't apologize for not having a pastor. And we don't apologize for church, a church governed by a plurality of elders. We don't apologize for that. And therefore, we don't apologize for the awkwardness that you've had. All right? This is one of those deals where you may be in the minority, but you are correct, biblically. All right? So, the easy and quick answer why Wellspring doesn't have a pastor in the common practice around us, is that the Word of God teaches only a plurality of elders as the church, the way the church is to be governed. And you say, well, you're going to have to put proof to that. I'm going to. That's what I spent all week doing, okay? So the answer is Wellspring has a plurality of elders because that's what the Word of God teaches. The wording or titles, though, is not the real issue. You'll see that in just a minute. The wording or titles is not the real issue. The real issue is the function of the person who may have the title. The difference is in the function, i.e. the way the church is governed, not in the name or title that any one individual has. The significant result is the governance of the local church. Now, whose church is it? The Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, the body of Christ. So with that understanding, he gets to call the shots. He gets to determine how his church is to be governed. And he, the Holy Spirit, has clearly stated that multiple times in the Word of God. I don't know why we missed it. I grew up as a Baptist. Many of you maybe. Okay? I've only known a pastor. But that's not what the New Testament teaches. The significant result then is how the local body is governed. There are basically three major ways. There may be some offshoots and all this kind of thing, of course. But the first one is Episcopalian. Now, don't think Episcopalian as in that denomination. There is a denomination, and they are governed in that way. But just the word itself, Episcopal, for our purposes, there's a CEO of the church. A person who is in charge of the church. Solely that person calls the shots. They run the church. They're in charge of the church. They take care of everything. They are the boss, the CEO. One person in charge. A second major means of governance is congregational. In a congregational church, the people are in charge. The people are in charge. And the opinion of the people, individually, is what governs the church. And to express that opinion, there has to be voting that takes place. All right? So we have Episcopalian, if you will, we have congregational, and then we have an elder-led church. Those are the three major means of governance of churches in our land. There's others, other places. Sometimes you'll see the word bishop. That word should be would be the same as overseer. Sometimes you'll see some other titles like priest. Catholic churches and some others have priests. That you can't find that in the New Testament anywhere. That would probably be more Episcopalian, where one person is in charge, the local priest, if you will. Okay, all right. The Word of God is quite specific about the office of elder and about the plurality of elders. There is never one elder in a church that is elder-led. There is a plurality, plural, more than one. There are elders in the local church. And the responsibility and the functions of elders is what we're really going to get into next week. Hence, the way the church is governed, the way the church functions, becomes an all-important matter. Now, there are a few people that I listen to. I'm not talking about you folks, but I'm talking about people that are thought to be knowledgeable scholars, people that I listen to, and a few, not that many. One of those is a guy named John MacArthur. Probably you've heard of him, maybe you've heard his broadcast. But John MacArthur states this, and he is probably the utmost Bible scholar that I know of that's not out in the weeds somewhere in la-la land, all right? MacArthur states, the consistent pattern throughout the New Testament is that each local body of believers is shepherded by a plurality of God-ordained elders. Simply stated, this is the only pattern for church leadership given in the New Testament. Nowhere in Scripture does one find a local assembly ruled by a majority opinion voting or by a single pastor. All right? And the person that I give credit to for Wellspring being an elder-led church was Bernard Holmes. Dr. Holmes was a New Testament professor over at SBU. He was from New Zealand. And when the church started, when we ready, set, go, okay, we started as an elder-led church. Because he took us through a study, okay, Bob Engold and myself, and we looked at the Word of God back through the original language, the whole nine yards, and I was convinced right off that the New Testament church, like MacArthur said, there's no place in the New Testament that says that one person is in charge, or that there is anything like congregational governance. Okay? So, numerous passages in the New Testament have several different words or titles that gets confusing. One of those is elder. The Greek word for that is presbyteros. And so the Presbyterian church denomination has forever had elders and had a plurality of elders as leading those churches. So if you come from a Presbyterian background, you say, well, yeah, of course. Because they have always had a plurality of elders that led the local church. Another word you'll see in the New Testament is overseer, episkopos, episkopos. And then finally there is pastor or appointment. All of these are referring to the same office. All of these are referring to the same office, but they differ in their the activity of the individual. So that's probably the reason for the confusion of pastor. Because elders do provide pastoral care, and Peter's going to delineate that next week. But what has happened is, in many places, the pastor has become the head of the church, the CEO, if you will, in many cases, and calls the shots, even though they may be a congregational church. There are all ways to get around that. You have the committee that recommends and the deacons that recommend and that kind of thing. And I don't know what deacons are doing recommended, because there's nowhere in the New Testament that says thou shalt recommend. There is that which deacons started with, serving, actually waiting tables, guys. Never was the deacon put in a position of authority collectively or individually to make decisions in the church. Now, I'm not against our deacons. We have some of the greatest men in the world serving that role. And they serve. And Chuck, not a one of these guys ever stepped up and said, hey, it's about time I had a little bit more to say here, right? Have you heard that? I haven't either. Okay? They are truly servants. But the deacons are not in the place of the congregation or the pastor to make the decisions for a church. A lot of places have a deacon board. All right? I don't know what that is. I would be bored with a deacon board for sure. All right? That'd get old in a hurry. All right. So the difference then is the function and activity of the individuals serving as elders in the governance of the local church. So let's back this up a little bit more. The elders, the appointment of elders in the New Testament. Elders were appointed by Paul and Barnabas at Lystra, the church, the congregation. Little church history here, okay? When it all started, there was the church in Jerusalem. The church was born on Pentecost. And there was one church, the church at Jerusalem. They had some pretty heavy-duty members there. All of the apostles were members of the church at Jerusalem. And then there were thousands upon thousands that were added to that church. And some have estimated, as I've said many times here, maybe that church grew to over 100,000 people. Now, they didn't have a building where they met. There wasn't a place big enough to meet. So they would meet in house groups or smaller groups at that time. But the city literally was turned upside down. Well, that wasn't God's intention, to build a mega church in Jerusalem. That was not what he had in mind. And so what happened then is that the church at Jerusalem began to disperse away from Jerusalem, establishing other churches. And then in 70 AD, when Jerusalem was destroyed, when the Romans came in and one rock wasn't laid upon another, the church was just jettisoned out into Asia Minor. And even some from the Jerusalem church went all the way to India. Thomas would be one of those, tradition tells us. So the church exploded out into the region, the Asia Minor, up into Greece and all. And so as they went, they established churches. And so the appointment of elders now is all important because the apostles can't be in all those places. So when you read Peter saying here, I too am an elder, he was an apostle and an elder. All right. So in Acts 14:23 specifically, they appointed elders there. And then at the other churches that were planted on the missionary journeys, they would appoint elders for the local church. So it flowed from the church at Jerusalem. And in Titus 1:5 and 1 Timothy 3, you can find the specific qualifications for elders. In our passage today, Peter speaks of elders as shepherds. We'll get into that a lot more next Sunday. Overseers is a word that you will see in 1 Timothy 3 as it lists the qualifications for overseers. Bishops will be used there sometimes. And then also of deacons follows that. Likewise, deacons, it says. So elders are to care for and look after the saints in the body of Christ at the local level. Acts 20:28-31 will tell you more about that in our passage today, 1 Peter 5. The idea then is that the elders will lead the body away from harm, think shepherding here, lead them from harm and to that which is good. All right. Now, elders, more than one. Never one. If you go to a church and they say, yeah, we're an elder-led church and there's one person there, they're not an elder. It's a plurality of elders. There are four men at this time who serve as elders here. Dwayne Banner, Chuck Lentz, Andy Yon, and myself. And in a plurality of elders, there's not a lead elder or a head elder. There are four men equal in all regards in all of the activities and functions of the church. Nobody can browbeat the others because it's always going to be three on one. So it's a plurality of elders, all of which are equal. All right. This is probably going to get some attention, okay? Elders are always men. And I know some of you are getting a little itchy right now, aren't you? Can you say that? You know, in 2018, can you get by with that? You know, won't that Waters gal from Los Angeles be on you in a minute? No? Bring it on, Waters. Okay, all right. Elders are men. And we don't apologize for that. And we're not going to change because the culture says, yes, but women. The authority of this body of believers is the Word of God, not what's in the culture. The feminine singular, Greek language, never occurs in the Bible related to elders. You will not find it. You will never find the feminine singular used in the context of elders in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy, the feminine plural occurs, but there it's referring to older women, not women in any official role of leadership in the church. Now, ladies, time out, okay? I'm not anti-woman, all right? Back in the day, I probably had a reputation for that. I still probably have a reputation for that. I love you guys, okay? I like women more than men. You are absolutely important in the intricate workings of this body of believers. It is not them and them. No. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, if you want to know why God did it that way, ask. I don't know. It's not that better, not as good, nothing like that. It's the way He organized His church. So elders are men, and there is no place in Scripture that you will find there were women who were deaconesses. Yes, good, all right? But we don't find anywhere where there are women elders in the New Testament. Elders also are not just the older men or the oldest men. Now, some will chase that word elder to age and build a pretty impressive case that it's supposed to be the oldest men. That's not sound doctrine or teaching in the New Testament. They attempt to make a case for that, but it's not there. Age is not the issue. The issue is spiritual maturity and responsibilities and the appointment by God to be a leader in that body. So if there is a need for elders, we've had elders here that are no longer here. So how do you replace an elder? Through intense prayer, the remaining elders seek the leadership of the Holy Spirit and may involve the congregation, because if there's more than just a handful, there's going to be people that you know something about that we don't. And so we spend a lot of time. Andy, when Chuck and Dwayne became elders, how long did that take? A couple of years, didn't it? Okay? But Andy was getting very nervous, because he was looking and it's just Wheeler and me. And if Wheeler goes down, it's me and I can't just be the elder. Not because of the workload, but because he knew that was not biblically accurate. The plurality of elders is, folks, a point that we have to maintain all of the time. It's never one elder. Now, back to our passage today. Elders, Peter sets in the context of himself. He says, as a fellow elder. And again, Peter was an apostle first. There were only 12. Say it again. No. My goodness, how can that be? The guy that hung himself. Thank you. Okay. Well, when he goes, you forget him, don't you, huh? Is that what they call a brain freeze these days? Okay. Or old age or something? Okay. He died. He betrayed Jesus. He went out and hung himself. There are to be 12 apostles. So when Judas died, someone had to replace him. And as you know, that was Matthias. And he was appointed. And then, I won't get into this today, but there was Paul, who identified himself as an apostle because he met the qualifications. And so, you know, there were 12 apostles. We'll let God sort that out, because there's a foundation in heaven of the wall, one for each of the apostles. He'll have to decide who that is at that time, because right now, there seems to be 13, but Paul was never officially appointed. He was an apostle to the Gentiles. So Peter was both an apostle, but he says as a fellow elder, because Peter was about this establishing of churches, but he was an elder, because he was an apostle, of the church at Jerusalem. And then when he began to leave Jerusalem, when he was forced out of there, then he took on some of the duties as overseer, elder, at some of these churches along with some other men. That's what he's doing here. That's why as a fellow elder, he had the responsibility of overseeing the work of God's kingdom. And he also said, and a witness to the sufferings of Christ. That was one of the qualifications. An apostle had to be with a person who had been with Jesus. All right? Well, he certainly met that. But he also knew of the sufferings of Christ because of what he went through there, especially in Jerusalem. And beyond that, we don't know the details of it, but he suffered as Jesus suffered. So Peter is addressing other elders and recognizes himself as fulfilling the role of elder and has filled that role. So each local body will have elders, men who are overseers of the body of Christ, responsible to and dependent on God for their actions and for the activities in shepherding the flock of God. That's a takeaway statement if you need one. All right. At this point, some of you no doubt are saying, at least you're tempted to say, it's just semantics. It's just a word. Elder, pastor, it's all the same thing. Don't go there. It does matter. One, because it's the language of the Holy Spirit. It's the governance structure established by the head of the church, Jesus Christ. It does matter. To drive home the point, it is much more about the function of the individual than it is the name of the individual. That's the difference. The function of the individual. The difference is actually then between an elder-led church and a congregational-led church or an Episcopal-type church. That's the difference. Coming down to how does the church function, that's what it's all about. And remember, the Episcopal church, there's one person in charge, the boss, the CEO. In the congregational church, everybody's in charge. And they express their opinions through voting. But in an elder-led church, there are men appointed by God for the leadership of the church. Not the bosses. Not the bosses. But for the leadership of the church. Elder-led. Elders are appointed to serve as overseers and shepherds. So there's more that goes into this elder than just being an overseer. There's also, and Peter gets into this, there's also that pastoral care, the shepherding of the flock. We'll get into that again next week. Really what it comes down to, as far as our experiences are concerned, would be people directing the church versus elders leading the church. There is a difference there. No doubt the people leading model has a patriotic ring to you today with the 4th of July coming up here in just a few days. You know, democracy. That's got to be right. Where the people are in charge, that's got to be the way it is. And it, you know, it does have that flute and fife and drum in the background, you know, when you're thinking about democracy's precious. I thank the Lord for a nation that is democratic. But God's kingdom is not run like the United States of America. God is not in favor of democracy. Can he say that? He has never, from the time that we know that he created Adam and Eve, God's kingdom, his rule and reign, has never been a democratic model. It is not a democracy, but it's a theocracy. I.e., God is in charge. Now, his kingdom and his church, then, are theocracies. He is in charge, and he has established a model of being in charge through some under-shepherds that he has called elders. Now, folks, don't go out here today saying, yeah, that old boy, he must be wanting a raise or something because he was making a big deal about he's the man. I am not in charge. I promise you this, if either one of us or all of us step up thinking we're in charge, you will be reading our obituary in the paper. That's how serious God is about this. And next week I'll tell you, not specifically by name, but I'll tell you about some guys that happened to. Because we've had, through the 29 years, we've had some runs on the office of elder here. We've had guys that stepped up and demanded to be, guys that were and were messing up, and on and on. No names or addresses or anything like that, but we've had those. And God has eliminated those that were trying to do those things. So God's kingdom is a theocracy, and the governance for His kingdom and for His church is a theocracy. You remember how upset God got when the people wanted a king? Remember that? When they wanted a king like Saul, it came to be Saul, but they wanted a king like the other people had. You want to insult God? That's the most insulting thing that they could do. It was God's chosen people. He had provided for them, taken care of them, fed them manna in the wilderness. And they said, we want a king like everybody else. That didn't set well with him. He wasn't going to share his authority with somebody else. He did then take it up with him on why he did. Okay, he could have wiped them out. And then they got into all kinds of trouble. How much better it would have been for the descendants of Abraham through Isaac and Jacob if they would just followed God as the authority. Today too, yeah. So, His church and His kingdom, His rule and reign, are a theocracy. Not a democracy. The idea there, God rules. The Word of God does not prescribe or describe the mechanics of the people voting on the affairs of the church. I challenge you, okay, to find a place where they voted in the New Testament. Now, some people will often throw up to you and say, yeah, when they got the deacons. When they got the deacons. But all the apostles said was, look you out among you and find, choose, identify seven men filled with the Holy Spirit. And they did. And so the seven deacons were there. And they were given charge over distributing food, especially to the Grecian widows who felt they were being left out. I don't find any place else. You'll get into these church history experts and those kind of folks that, well, after a few centuries, tradition tells... And all, folks, I'm sorry, okay, I respect history. I got a degree in history, okay? But I cannot find it in the Word. You go looking, okay? I can't find it. Don't you think that if that's the way God wanted it to be, He would have been as definitive about voting on things as he was about appointing elders? Don't you think? The Word of God does not prescribe or describe the mechanics of the people voting on the affairs of the church. It does describe and prescribe the appointment of elders, plural, as overseers, shepherds of the local body of Christ. Now, most of us, if we just kind of kick back and, you know, got out some iced tea and something like that, we could probably share some horror stories about our days in a congregational church. Days that, the business meeting, okay? Oh, I get cringy when I think of that kind of thing. And in those business meetings, okay, that a business meeting would be a necessary part of a congregational-led church, because everybody has to vote, and so you get together and vote at the business meeting. All kinds of things go on there. Okay? I remember in a town not that far away where there was a vacancy as far as pastor of the church. Okay? Well, there was a guy in town, this town, all right, who had a son that he wanted to spend more time with his grandkids. So click, 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 if son comes to this town to be the pastor of this church, then the grandkids come with, and all of a sudden, Sunday dinner for all, each Sunday. And so, this is a votable deal, okay? Call a new pastor, you got to vote. And people came out of the woodwork who used to be members of that church years ago. And one guy who had a lot of clout but wasn't going to church at that time, but he was still on the roll, okay? He stepped in and he wrangled that deal. And they got a vote with the bare minimum necessary to call a pastor. And that guy was called to be the pastor. Split that church wide open. Folks, I just haven't had... I've been to a lot of church. I haven't had a lot of good experience. Usually, it comes like this, okay? The so-and-so recommends. And that's not a true democracy, okay? It is if people vote there. But the deacons recommend, or the such-and-such committee recommends, that kind of thing. And a lot of times, that goes all right, unless there's one person who stands up and says, well, I don't agree with that. Now what are you going to do? Well, let's vote. Some of us have been involved in church splits. And may I say, 29 years later, though this rumor still circulates, this is not a split of First Baptist Church. It's not even a good splinter. Okay? You may have heard that in the rumor. That did not happen. All right? Our family and another family went downtown, rented a building, and started Wellspring Baptist Fellowship. But when you get into the position of asking people to vote on things, you get power brokers who start trying to influence the votes, and the telephones start ringing, and they're drumming up support for this. Sometimes there's even individuals who profit personally from decisions made by the church, i.e. money in their pocket. You know, I happen to be I'm not a contractor, okay? I'm a contractor, and you know, they're building on that new addition to the church. And, you know, if I take that preacher out for a cup of coffee every now and then and kind of get it, I just might get the bid on that. You think, that never happens. Trust me, folks, that happens, okay? And special favors for, and that kind of thing. I'm not throwing rocks at anybody. I'm just saying I grew up and lived a good number of years in congregational-led churches. And folks, there are as many painful moments as Joyce. Maybe I just was an anomaly. And I'm not throwing on, I'm not saying you're bad, you're anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I thank the Lord for directing us to establish this church according to His Word. That's all I'm trying to say today. I feel for those pastors who are fired by a vote of the church, because they didn't do something that certain group of people thought they should have. They called for a vote at a business meeting and fired the old boy on the spot. I feel for those guys. I feel for the pastors who are constantly under pressure to do this and not do that. And, well, I certainly can't preach about this, or I better not say something about that from the pulpit, or, you know, I could lose my job. I'll talk to you a little bit next week about the freedom that comes in an elder-led church and not paying anybody. There's a tremendous freedom there. We'll talk about that more in detail last week. But I feel for those guys who are constantly in agony over, I got to keep the right people happy in order to keep my job. Because my kids are in high school and they don't want to start a new high school. So, you know, I really can't talk about that. It's just too controversial. And they are shackled then by the will of the people doing the voting. I do know the Word teaches that God is not the author of confusion. And anything that leads to confusion in His body is not of Him. And if everybody's in charge, there's going to be some confusion, I'm guessing. He, God, is also not dependent nor influenced by the votes of people to direct His actions or activities. He knows eternity past. He knows everything now. He knows everything in eternity future. He doesn't need some folks voting to tell Him what He should do. He's pretty well got a handle on it. Folks, this statement that I repeat so often and that we repeat so often is one that you need to take to the bank with you. Truth is what God says and what God sees. Not what we think. Not what we want, not our opinions of. Well, back when I was there, none of that. Truth is what God says and what God sees. The issue then from this morning's time, do you want to be biblically correct or culturally correct? That's what it really comes down to. And that culture can be, one, you, or it can be what's in. And I want to assure you that an elder-led church is not what's in now in church governance. I hope this morning you see that's the way it started. And if we can believe that the Word of God is the will of God, that is God's will for the local body. Now I ask you for a whole lot of grace right now if you're irritated, upset, or mad, okay? You go read it, okay? I spent all week. I started afresh. Why is Wellspring Baptist Fellowship an elder-led church? Is there any scriptural evidence for that to be the case? That's where I started, okay? And I walk back all of this that I've tried to summarize for you. And folks, I can find nothing that would counter what I've tried to share with you this morning. Let's pray.